I like action stories. I like action movies. I like action books. When I was a kid, my favorite book was the Choose Your Own Adventure books. You guys remember Choose Your Own Adventure books? I like action. I like stuff that I can, like, you can get inside and you can, like, watch, like, the movie unfolding. Today is a great story that if you have a good imagination and we can kind of meditate on, there's a lot that we can jump into today's story and try to picture what it must have been like. Like, imagine sitting there and watching the scene. Like, I don't want to go into too much because we want to try to get to something learned by the end of it. But imagine the scene as you're standing there by the shore and you see, either you're on the shore guy, you're one of the fishermen guy who've been working all night with Peter, and you see, the story for those who weren't really paying attention was about when Peter was working all night to try to catch fish and he couldn't catch anything. Jesus came in the boat, said, let's go out, another run. And they had so much fish that the boat was sinking, they had to bring a second boat. So imagine the sight that you can see, that this guy is first on the boat and he's frustrated and he can't catch anything and all working all night. And then this guy goes on his boat and then all of a sudden, one fish, two fish, three fish, four fish, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, and the fish 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 until the boat started breaking. So they bring another boat and that boat started breaking too. The sight must have been amazing to witness. The part that I always think about a miracle, humor me here for 1 second as I try to explain how my mind works. I always like to think about the minute that it happened, the second that it happened. Like, what must it have been like the second before and then the second just after? Like you know when Jesus turned the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Like, I want to go back in time and just stare at the 5 and the 2. Just stare at them. And what was that second like? Did it just go from like 5 to like 10,000? Or was it like 5 to like 6? And then they took one and just appeared. Like, if you blinked, would you have missed it? Or the water into wine? Like, if you're just staring at it, what was the second when that miracle happened? In today's story, the moment that it happened is clear. The moment that the miracle took place, that is very clear. Let's go through today's story and let's try to see the timeline of events so we can catch the moment and jump into that moment and see what it was like. First, let's start at the end and then let's go backwards. Let's see how the story ended and then we'll see how it began and then we'll try to like shrink it down to catch that moment in the middle. First thing is, if you had to describe St. Peter and how the story finished for St. Peter, what kind of words would you use to describe? How was St. Peter feeling at the end of the story? What kind of words would you use to describe St. Peter's feeling? How would you describe him? Like, there's two options right off the bat. Happy or sad? Was he happy or sad? He's happy, okay? Don't make it too complicated. Life comes down to happy and sad, okay? Good and bad, happy and sad. So he was happy, okay? And he was happy, why? Because he had a lot of fish. And a lot of fish meant a lot of money. And a lot of money meant, you know, new phone or whatever he wanted to buy. All right, so he was very, very, very happy because he had never, ever seen so much fish in his life, and he was exuberant, and that's why he was jumping for joy, and all the fishermen were so happy. In addition to being so happy, so full of joy, so enthusiastic, so excited, spiritually, where was St. Peter right here? By the end of the story, it said that he forsook all and followed him. You got to kind of understand the context of the life of St. Peter to get the importance of this phrase. St. Peter, the Lord came to him early on and said, follow me. And St. Peter said, okay. But even though St. Peter started to follow the Lord, he wasn't fully like in. He wasn't like fully a committed, like he didn't leave all yet and follow him. That's why obviously he was still working as a fisherman. So before this moment, St. Peter was like sort of in, but sort of not in. Like, yeah, I believe in him and he's a good guy, but I still got bills to pay and, you know, I'll see him on Sunday, but on Monday I got my other stuff. And he was kind of like 1 foot in and 1 foot not in. But by the end of the story, I don't care about my fish, I don't care about my business, I don't care about anything. I forsook all and I followed. So you can see that St. Peter, at the beginning of the story, was kind of like a lot of us are, you know, kind of going through life, kind of wondering where I should be going, you know, kind of questioning and all this stuff. But by the end, no question. I know my purpose. I know my goal. I know my vision. This is exactly what God wants for me. I'm not even thinking about any of that other stuff. He was clear. He knew his purpose. And that gives you a great sense of satisfaction. So St. Peter ended the story full of purpose. St. Peter ended the story full of joy. But how did he start the story? Now let's go back to the beginning of the story. The beginning of the story starts off here. Let's read some of the verses here. It starts off in Luke chapter 5, chapter 1. It says, when the multitude pressed about him, meaning Christ, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and washing their nets. What happened? Jesus was outside. He was preaching. And while he was preaching, St. Peter wasn't listening to the preaching necessarily. Okay, he may have heard it in the back, but St. Peter was over here, and he had been doing his fishing stuff, and he had been working all night. And the way the fisherman job works, okay, you start really, really early in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and you try to catch the fish while it's dark, and then usually around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you pack up and go home because there's no more hope of finding any fish. So St. Peter's here, and he's working all night. Jesus comes out in the morning, and he starts preaching, okay, and there's 10,000 people, as there always was when Jesus went. And St. Peter's over here, and he's starting to clean his nets. Clean his nets means what? Done for the day, all right? Done for the day, like he's done. He's ready to pack up and go home. Next verse, verse 3. Says, then he, meaning Jesus, got into one of the boats, which happened to be Simon's, happened to be Simon Peter's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. How are you feeling right now if you're St. Peter? How are you feeling right now? You're St. Peter. You worked all night. And what did you catch after working all night? Nothing. It stinks to work hard. It stinks a lot more when you work hard and get nothing. Like, work hard and get stuff, okay, we can handle that. But work hard and get nothing is the worst feeling in the world. Agree with me or disagree? When I was a kid, when I was back in college, I used to work as a waiter. All right, and I used to work up at a pizza place up in Tyson's Corner. And when I was working, okay, waiters just got paid minimum wage. We got $2.08 per hour. $2.08, but then you made tips. All right, so during Christmas season, it was great. You work 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, I make several hundred dollars, okay, because I was the fastest waiter. That was fine. But then, just after Christmas, and after New Year's especially, all of a sudden business slowed down. And do you know what it feels like to work a 10-hour shift, and you make $2.08 an hour, so you, after working 10-hour shift your entire day, you have $20.80 to show for that before taxes? That's the worst feeling in the world. That's the worst feeling. How do you feel at that moment in time? Frustrated? Exhausted, miserable, I hate my life. And I hate your life too. And at that moment in time, I'm not saying I'm depressed. I'm not saying I'm going to commit suicide. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm a little frustrated. Leave me alone. Let me go home, have a nice snack, bowl of ice cream, sports center, go to sleep, and I'll be fine in the morning. Just leave me alone at that moment in time. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. Everyone has a right to be frustrated and tired. That's the way St. Peter was right now. And then Jesus comes and says, what? Excuse me. Do you mind we go out a little bit in the water? Why you say that? Like, we worked all night. I'm frustrated. You know I'm frustrated. Why do you? St. Peter? Okay. Okay. The boss came and said, I see you packing up. You know when your boss sees you packing up and then says, hey, I need you for 5 minutes? You know how annoying that is? That's annoying. That's annoying. Boss comes, says, I need you for 5 minutes. Okay, we will put out a little from the land. That's what he said. He said, I quote, a little from the land. He gets in the boat. He starts preaching. All right, preacher man, we've heard the sermon before. Get to the end. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Let's go. There's traffic, okay? Get to the end. And then watch what Jesus does. You think Jesus was doing like this before? Watch what he does next verse. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. First it was put out a little bit from the shore. Okay, so it's from here to here. Now he says, you know what? Let's go all the way over there. And while we're out there, you know those nice nets that you just spent an hour cleaning? We're going to throw those things back in the water. And we're going to see if we can catch a fish. Excuse me? Now that's it. Excuse me? First of all, I'm a Middle Eastern man. You don't tell me how to do my job. You're a carpenter. You're a preacher man. Stick to preaching. Stick to carpentering. I'm a fisherman. I know how to do fishing. There's no fish right now. Thank you very much. And in addition, I've been working all night. You've been here for 10 minutes. I've been working all night. I'm frustrated. It's time for me to go home. Going out into the deep means that the traffic is going to build up. That means that I'm not going to be able to watch my favorite TV show. That means I'm going to get to sleep late and be frustrated the next day as well. And St. Peter responded to the Lord. He responded as, you know the expression that we say in Arabic, he held himself, okay? He held himself. And he said, as respectfully and as decently, okay, because this is the Lord. And he had began, again, he had started following him. He was got one foot in, one foot out. He says, very respectfully, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. In other words, no thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate the input. No thank you. You know, for a lot of us, our story ends right here. For a lot of us, the story would end right here. Because the next, not even sentence, is still the same sentence. The next word is the moment. What's the next word? It's close to but. It's not exactly but. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. This nevertheless was a boomerang. Because the whole story had been going in frustration and anger and, but nevertheless it went this way. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. This word, nevertheless, is the most important word in all of Christianity, I think. Because this word, nevertheless, it means like but, or means like yet, or means whatever. It basically means, despite all that I see and all that I feel, and all my experience tells me, and all my friends who are fishermen tell me, and everything that I'm feeling right now, and everything that I want right now, everything, despite all that, you said that? Yes, sir. That ain't easy to do. That's what I'm saying. A lot of us, our story ends in, we told all night and caught nothing. I'll see you next Sunday. St. Peter, I'm tired. I'm frustrated. This doesn't make any sense. This is dumb. Nevertheless, it's your word, I will do it. That word, nevertheless, is an amazing word. Changed everything. It changed the whole story 180 degrees. And that's why the story, which started with frustration, ends with joy. The story which started with an aimless guy ends with a guy who knows exactly what God wants him to do. The story that started with a guy who is teetering between God and the world never teetered again. And even though St. Peter fell, St. Peter was never the same after this because he knew exactly where he was going and he knew the nevertheless. You know about like Judas and St. Peter, both of them kind of denied Christ or kind of betrayed Christ. Judas, I did this. This is so bad. I can't possibly, be forgiven. Peter said, I did this. It's so bad. Nevertheless, he's going to forgive me. Nevertheless, let's fight on and fight the good fight. See this word, nevertheless, how it works? Nevertheless was the turning point in St. Peter's life. And my question is, have you reached that nevertheless moment yet? Look how St. Paul said it in the Pauline epistle for today, which came from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Yet equals nevertheless, or but. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in the body. You see how it works? See, many of us, we'd say, oh, my life is hard. I'm hard pressed. Yes, I agree. Oh, my life is hard. I'm perplexed. Amen. I am persecuted. I'm struck down. Yes, 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 yes. Nevertheless, you're not destroyed. Nevertheless, you're not in despair. Nevertheless, you're not forsaken. See how it works? We get stuck on the first half of the verse. I am, I am, I am. And then we end the story right there. St. Paul, St. Peter could say nevertheless. Proverbs practical application for me and you. God is too much. It's too much. Have you been at the God, it's too much moment in life? Man, I don't know anybody that doesn't say, I got too much on my plate. If there's anyone here today who feels like they don't have enough on their plate, come let us know. We'll add some stuff to your plate. I can share. I got kids. I can loan one out or something. Everyone's got too much on their plate. There ain't a person that doesn't have too much on their plate. And a lot of us, it's too much God. St. Peter, it's too much God. Nevertheless, at your word, I will trust you. God, it's too much. And now you're asking me to forgive this person who hurt me? I can't forgive them. Nevertheless, at your word, I will forgive them. I can't. I can't put up with this anymore. I can't. It's too much. I can't trust you. I can't stop worrying. Nevertheless, I will give thanks. See how nevertheless works? Nevertheless is the best word in the Bible. Because all of the Bible, from start to finish, says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Isn't that what the Bible says? That we walk by faith, not by sight. The key to walking by faith, not by sight, is the word nevertheless. That we don't just live by what we see, because what we see is a lot of stuff. And it's difficult, and there's pain, and there's tribulation, and there's trials. Nevertheless, with you there's hope. Nevertheless, with you there's joy. Nevertheless, I will give you thanks. I will trust you. I will not worry. I will not fear. Nevertheless. Because that's your word. Think of all the people in the Bible who had to go through a nevertheless moment. And what you'll find is nevertheless is the key to reaching that deep place with God. Nevertheless is the key. Think about the people in the Bible who took the nevertheless road. Think about the born blind man who Jesus came to him, spit on some mud, smacked him in the face, and said, go walk a mile and a half. That doesn't make sense. That's not even a very nice thing to do. Doesn't seem very polite. Nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. And what did he discover on the other side of nevertheless? Think about the widow with two mites. Lady, you got two mites? I got news for you. You're not saving the church by putting those two pennies in the donation box. No one's going to even notice. Keep it for yourself. Get yourself a piece of bread. Try to, like, build up, like, save your... It doesn't make much sense. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll make the sacrifice. This word nevertheless is the most amazing word. It changes everything. What nevertheless is a bridge. It's a bridge between the place of frustration to the place of joy, to the place of shallow, to the place of depth. It's a bridge from the place of aimless, purposeless, to the place of confidence in knowing who you are and who God wants you to be. Think about this bridge. It's a small bridge. It's kind of narrow. It's a rickety old bridge. It looks like it's not going to survive if I walk on it. So you kind of walk like this, and you're like, I don't really trust this bridge. It looks like I'm going to fall as soon as I step on it. So we say, you know what? Let me just stay on this side. Let me stay on this side. It makes more sense than that bridge. And that bridge, I agree. It doesn't look very safe. But you walk on that bridge, man, it opens a door to a life that you can never taste on the other side. Who wants to go deeper with God? I believe the plague of our era, like us, our challenge, the greatest thing that like hurts many people today, superficiality in their relationship with God. It's very easy for us to be superficial in our relationship with God, and that's the worst thing. Superficial in our trust. Superficial in our understanding, in our knowledge, in our obedience. Superficial. God wants to take you deeper. God wants to take you deeper. But you know the bridge? It's called nevertheless. And I promise you, you want to go deeper. You're going to be faced with either a commandment that you don't understand, with a challenge that you say is too big, with a faith thing that you can't possibly believe. Something along those lines. And you got to go against everything that you see, and you got to go, nevertheless, at your word, I will, and then you fill in the blank. We can't be content with the superficial. That's why actually today in Light and Life, I'm starting a new series that I'm really excited about, which is basically all about what it means to really follow Christ. And we're going to see what he says it means to, I know what I think it means and how we define it. We're going to see what he says it means to really follow him, to not just live at the superficial level, to go past that bridge and to go on to that good side, because that's what he intended for us to do. I want to leave you with this thought here. I always think of Moses in the Red Sea. Go back and picture the story. Like, you want to get into an action story, go Moses in the Red Sea. There's a story for you. Moses in the Red Sea. Here I'm Moses. Mountains to the left, mountains to the right, bad guys behind me, sea in front of me. Now, I don't necessarily see the sea yet. I know there's mountains, I know there's mountains, I know there's bad guys. But I've seen me a map, okay? I know where this direction's headed. I know there's a sea coming. So I pray to God, and I say, hey, God, what are we going to do here? And God says, go forward. Okay, God, I trust you. Went forward, still mountains, mountains, sea, bad guys. What are we going to do? God says, go forward. Nothing's happened here, God. Maybe now would be a good time that we, like, get a white flag, start to negotiate with Pharaoh. Maybe now, like, we can have a discussion with him. Let's see if we can negotiate. God says, no, don't talk to him. Go forward. Okay, God, I already went forward two times. I'm going to go forward a third time, but we really need to get to the situation of the sea and the mountains and the bad guy. So I go forward and forward and forward. Now I've taken five or six steps forward. And in my sight, by what my eyes see, I am in no better position than I was five steps ago. I'm exactly the same position. And then God says, take another step forward. Okay, that's it, God. Now's not a time for preaching stuff. Now we got to take action. So sorry, I listened to you. I tried my best. You are clearly not on the same page. Let me solve this problem, then I'll come back on church on Sunday. Everything will be fine. But now I got a problem here, God. That's how a lot of us live our life. That's how a lot of us live our life. Moses, okay, God, I don't see any benefit to taking another step forward. I see that the more steps forward, the quicker my death. Nevertheless, at your word, I will obey. See how nevertheless works? How did it turn out for Moses? How did the story end for Moses? It is a good ending. You can go check it out in the book of Exodus when you get home. See how that movie ends. Worked out pretty good for him. Worked out pretty good for St. Peter. Worked out pretty good for anyone who could live by faith and could say this word nevertheless. But the question is, can we? Like, can me and you? Or are we just going to stay at the surface? We just going to stay at the surface and just live this life? Or are we going to say, nevertheless, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust. I, like that man said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Like, I don't really believe, but nevertheless, it's your word, I'm going to take a step forward in obedience. Who's the one who can say, nevertheless, is the one who's going to live in that deep, in that joy, in that good stuff that God has planned for us. Glory be to God forever. Amen.